Okay, name that tune. A lot of people wouldn't really tie that into a real scary movie in its day. That's the opening theme, if you don't recognize it, to the original Godzilla. Yeah, nice little piece of music. We're here, Brad and I, with Christopher Lutz, talking about the legacy, so to speak, of the much maligned and perverted, corrupted Amityville horror story. Christopher, since this is a Halloween program, tell us, if you would, what did happen in the house that was weird. Give us just a few ideas. A lot of people don't know because their whole concept of the thing has been so twisted and distorted by Hollywood. What was really going on there?
Well, I'll tell you the biggest thing that people don't know, and this is what I figured had been expressed in the book, but just hadn't, once I read it myself, realized that it was not disclosed to the public. And this, to me, is what had caused what happened there. Granted, in that home, there was a mass murder in that home. The DeFeo son, the oldest son, Ronnie DeFeo, went through with a high-powered rifle, murdering his mother, his father, his two younger brothers, and his two sisters, all of them in their bed, all in one night. You know, and the fact that they had been murdered in that home by itself would have been enough cause for that house to have had a haunting in it. But the thing that had been left out of the story, the key element that makes this worse than it would have otherwise been, was what George was doing in that house. And for the occultic practices that George was practicing, calling forth spirits, for him to do that in any house would have had a consequence. For him to have done it in that house, that, to me, is what triggered the event that took place in that house. And that's why it followed us when we left.
That's never been brought out in any of the versions that I've seen.
It is not, and that is why I'm coming forward, because to see this story the way it's been for 35 years now, it's been told, retold, mistold, and now it's going into its upteenth telling. There's already been 9 movies. There's 3 in production right now, along with 2 other documentaries.
Wow.
There's 5 films being made right now before I began to move forward, to step up and say what had really had happened. And this is such a radically different story than what people have been told. That element in itself, and I look forward to just laying it out exactly the way I know it, because not only did it follow us, but it's continued to be an issue in my life ever since.
Still, it's still there.
Well, it's not that it happens every day, but there is a cycle that does seem to continue.
I'll be darned. Give us an example of what happens.
Well, for in my bedroom, would have been a last night, the window in my room opened repeatedly, no less than 5 times.
What kind of a window is it?
My bedroom had been what used to be Ronald DeFeo's bedroom. My bedroom was the one with the quarter round windows in the front of the house there.
How do these windows open? Lift up manually? Crank open?
They swing in.
So there's just a latch. You undo the latch and they swing in. Okay.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then just a few nights before that, to see an apparition materialize just outside my door, and I was absolutely petrified. I mean, this thing was as definite as a shadow, but not against the wall. Had no legs on it. I couldn't move. I wanted to scream for my mother. But I knew this thing could get to me before it could.
Mm-hmm.
Before she could.
The window, the window episode opening 5 times in a row, was that?
Yeah, me and my brother were arguing. My brother was like, he closed it first, and next he's yelling at me, "You closed it." No, I did it, and then I had to do it, and then it opened again. He had to do it. And then
did
it
he? Did you guys latch it each time?
Oh yeah, I mean, I had to open the window.
Uh huh. Wow, not fun.
Mm-mm. No, no, and so, you know, that those are just the things that I'm talking about now. Those were things that I had mentioned publicly already. There's more to the story.
How are you going to bring the story?
I'd love to just spill all the beans right now.
No, don't. We don't want that. You need to take care of you and right this terrible wrong. How are you going to do it? Are you going to work with a legitimate screenwriter? Are you going to go right for the motion picture venue? Or are you going to try and do a book, which probably wouldn't be your best bet because it'll be stolen? But you need to get locked up with somebody in Hollywood. I mean, there obviously is a lust to continue this story. And if they've got the real story from you, there ought to be some serious demand for your cooperation.
You know, I wish I knew who I could trust.
Well, they're listening tonight, so maybe someone will contact you. What's the best contact address for you? Not contract. We want to get you a contract. What's the best contact address for you?
The easiest way to find me online would be to go on to www.AmityvilleHorrorChallenge.com.
Okay.
And or they can find me on Facebook. That is... they can find me on Facebook by Christopher Quarantino, or if you find that good Italian name difficult to spell, just look up Amityville Horror Challenge on Facebook also, and you'll see me posting there.
That's Quarantino. It's not Quarantino. It's Quarantino.
Correct.
There's no you. N. All right. So you want to work with somebody, so. Here's the opportunity, screenwriters. This could do something very, very interesting for your career and help to set this whole thing straight. I mean, there's nothing more despicable than having a family's reputation. I mean, really, it's a de facto destruction of the reputation of the family, and it's not fair.
It just appalls me.
Yeah.
The wantonness with which real people are used as if they're comic book characters,
right.
Fictional characters. I get steamed when I see, back when they did Davy Crockett. I mean, Davy Crockett didn't look like that. I mean, he wore a long coat and a big hat, and he was a dandy, and that's the way he was at the Alamo. He wasn't with a coonskin hat and all of that. They distorted, and then they did a whole series, and they do Daniel Boone, and they do Wyatt Earp. How outrageous was that? But these are historical people, and you know, again, I think it's a shame to distort their lives, but you people are living... Today, you're real people, and people are making up stories about what you did. I'm appalled by it.
Well, not only is it what they're doing, you know, have done to my family, but, you know, so many times, every time you see a documentary or another movie about the Amityville Horror, that the DeFeo family gets murdered over and over and over again.
True.
Now,
true.
There was four children that were brutally murdered in that house. And the last movie that was done took disgusting to a whole new level. You know, never have I seen anything done like they did to what the memory of those DeFeo kids. I mean, if either of you had seen that 2005 film, if you remember how they portrayed what would have been one of the DeFeo kids, calling her Jody DeFeo. They portrayed that particular child, one of the DeFeo girls, as though she was trapped in the house perpetually in a state of torment in the afterlife, being clawed through walls with a bullet hole in her forehead.
Oh,
and, you know, goodness. Look, that was a real kid. You know, and think about this. I mean, here's a fresh name for you. How about Kaylee Anthony? Imagine if somebody made a movie about her and did something like that to her.
And they will.
And these are real kids. These were real people, and that's how they want to memorialize them, so that they can make $108 million on their movie and walk down the red carpet with a big shit grin, excuse me.
$108 million. Wow. All right.
That's what the last one did.
Well, let's hope that you can get connected with somebody and at least make an effort to get a real story out on the big screen about this. Stand by, Christopher. This is a very interesting interview, to put it mildly. And we're finally getting the truth about the Amityville Horror. Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Christopher Quarantino. This is quite revelatory, to put it mildly. Brad, have you ever heard much of this before, the real story? I've not.
Well,
I mean, you know more than I do, but this is
It could be me we're talking about who wrote the book, because I had the same editor, Prentice Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And once when I was in New York, they presented this story they had, the DeFeo family, and I was aware of it, the grisly murders. And then they said, we've heard the family there is reporting strange happenings. And I said, well, of course they are. I mean, when they move into a home where these murders are taking place, I mean, it's just going to be power of suggestion. And so I have to admit, I wasn't interested in it. But then Jay Anson took it over, and you know, the rest is history. He made a bundle of it. And now I'm hearing, you know, what was done with the book, what was done with the story. And I think for the first time, it's making sense with what Christopher says. If George was trying to work with the dark arts or the occult, that stirred everything up. And we had Alexandra Holzer on. Her dad Hans wrote three books on it, and he largely concluded it was demonic influence. And Hans may have been right once again, if that's what it was. When we did an update for Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, and Haunted Places, we were in contact with George, and he had us and asked us to. He wasn't heavy about it. That every time we wrote Amityville Horror in the book, we put TM, trademark. So I'm wondering if Christopher knows that George trademarked Amityville Horror, and as you know, the heir apparent to this, this should be able to prevent others from using it. George trademarked it. Did you know that, Christopher?
Yes, I did know it. In fact, he sued me for infringing upon that trademark.
He sued you?
yeah, he did.
Well, scratch what I just said then.
not only did he trademark it, but here's the issue. The name The Amityville Horror is trademarkable. The mm-hmm. word by itself, Amityville, is not trademarkable.
No,
it is
of course not.
The name of a town. And
right.
That is how some of these movie companies are able to make a movie. One of the movies that is slated and is in production right now, called Amityville Haunting, actually takes an actual real life murder that happened in another house in a different part of the country, and recreates that story as though it happens in the Amityville house after we move out. And so they're just looking to capitalize upon the title Amityville and people's gullibility to, and this again is going to be listed as though it was a real story.
Yeah. Well, as I told you in an email, I don't know if you got it or not, but I met your folks. They weren't divorced then. Probably shortly thereafter, they attended one of my lectures and identified themselves afterwards, and we had a very interesting conversation. And they both seemed very believable. Your mother was very likable. She's a very charming woman. And we had quite a discussion about it. And I know they were moving forward. They had plans then to kind of take over or take back the franchise from the Hollywood money machine.
Well, as much as he wanted to take it back, what he intended to do, if you remember the movie that I told you the screenplay had been written about, a son returned to the house killing George through telepathy.
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
That was George was in favor of that movie. That was one of the movies that he had intended to make. And so, you know, when a father's willing to do that to his stepson, I had to intervene. And I went to war with George. We had a long drawn-out lawsuit, and it was an interesting twist that took place, that he was willing to make a film about his son killing him, but then they lost the financing to that movie as MGM announced that they were going to do the remake. And a funny ironic twist, was that MGM portrayed George going through the house trying to kill us. And so when that was all over, you know, basically he reaped what he was looking to sow.
Oh, terrible. I'm so sorry to hear that there's dissension in the family as a result of this. I mean, that's a sad note. I'm really sorry to hear that, Christopher.
And me too. You know, I wish this just wouldn't have all happened, but, I'm not going to quibble about it. I'm just going to do what I can to...
Well, you're the victim of this
story for people. And
well, what about your siblings? How do they react to this?
My sister has chosen to stay out. Here's what she had said. She says, you know, the water's so muddy, she ain't getting involved. And okay. I would love to keep that same, for the longest time, I didn't want anything to do with this either. But once I found out that a film was going to be made about a son returning, and, you know, there was only two sons in that house, and for anybody to come up to me that has known me through my life and say, you know, because when these movies get pitched, they, you know, and sold to the public, they say this was what really happened. And
that's
so
terrible.
For somebody to come to me saying, you know, did you really kill your dad?
Did you really?
What is that?
Yeah.
What is that going to do to me? You know, and the other plans we had with it were to start having haunted house attractions in different cities around Halloween time. Mm. And, you know, I just didn't want to be part of the freak show.
No,
you know,
that is a freak. That is a freak show, my man. That is a freak show.
And, you know, my goals in life were to become a pastor. And I'm not going to have my image demonized along with your story. And, you know, it was just absolutely contrary to where I want to go with my life. And so I'm not going to... I need to take that control of my image. You mentioned about a comic.
Absolutely.
You do. Christopher, excuse me. Hold on one second, please. We'll come back and finish up with you. We'll carry you over. I want to get a couple final words in from you in just a couple minutes. So don't go away. Okay, very interesting, all of you and Brad and I, hearing things about the Amityville horror that many have never heard before. The true story is about to be brought forward by one of the participants in that, or victims, Christopher Quarantino, otherwise known as Lutz. So again, if you want to contact Christopher, he is looking for a Hollywood agent, not a hustler, not a shyster, a real one, somebody with connections to legitimate screenplay writers and major studios, certainly even minor studios that are capable of producing good quality films. All right, Christopher, want to wrap this up for us? What haven't we touched on that you'd like to make sure gets put out there tonight?
Well, the story of the Amityville Horror is very different from anything you've heard so far. And for those of you that have an interest in true paranormal, and I'm going to look to dissect this thing for you and give you an understanding as best I can and as best I understand it, so that you may learn more from it. The one of the things that I've got coming up here, coming this Sunday night, October 30th, Halloween Eve, I'll be giving a live fireside chat from the fire pit in my backyard with hot chocolate in hand. What I've decided to do was not having the connections to get this thing developed thus far. I was looking to act on my own behalf as my own executive producer. It's going to take quite a bit of money to do something. I'm just a working Joe like the rest of you guys. So here's what I decided to do. That fireside chat is going to be a webcast pay-per-view, just $5, and I'm offering the story "Creepy or Your Money Back."
Now, money don't, back guarantee. Huh?
All right, now don't give the whole story away. Obviously, you want to hang on to this.
No. Here's what I'm going to be talking about. Like I said, things have continued to happen in my life, and the story I'm going to be telling on Sunday night is just a whisper of what else has gone on in my life. And when I tell this story, I still get chills.
Very good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, a lot of people are going to want to hear that story, I'm certain, Christopher.
Give us the time again and where they can go to sign up to hear it, Christopher.
Sure. You can. It will be airing live at 9 p.m. Eastern at 6 p.m. Pacific, and that is Sunday night, October 30th, Halloween Eve. And you can get more information by logging on to www.AmityvilleHorrorChallenge.com.
All right, very good. Thanks so much for being here tonight. We heard some very interesting things. I've actually got a couple of emails already thanking you for sharing all this. So, very good.
And best wishes to you, Christopher. We'll be looking to see justice being done.
We certainly will.
Thank you, Brad. And Jeff, thank you for sharing your audience with me.
Oh, of course. Keep in touch with us and let us know. Yes. Maybe we'll have you back in a few months when things begin to gel, hopefully, in your direction. That would be fun.
Good. That'd be great.
Tune in for the fireside chat. I'm sure you're going to want to talk more about once you hear that.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Best wishes.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
You too. Bye.
All right. Well, interesting. Being a real Amityville veteran like you are, what do you think? Sounds like there's a whole nother story there.
Yeah, and it sounds like one that makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
The that aspect that he added about George dabbling in the cult.
Mm. Yeah.
In the dark side, obviously, and seeking to contact. I mean, this would be, to move into a home where those horrible murders.
I don't know why anybody would want to do that, frankly.
I can't imagine why anyone would want to move into such a home. But
no,
the most frightening experiences I've had as a researcher, and I've told this before on the program, but was in a home where three violent murders had taken place. And that's where I found out that my theories of all hauntings being just residual energy.
Whoops.
And having nothing to do with...
I remember.
You know, yeah, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
And I insulted, saying, you know, oh, well, you know, and, you know, when we all got lifted in the air and dropped, I realized, you know, there's an intelligence here.
Well, one of you was tossed against a wall, wasn't it?
Yeah. Slammed against the wall, and then it was just the door tried to lock me into this where the one of the murders had taken place, and it was just, I mean, there's this wasn't residual energy impressed in the environment. This was something that, man, could get angry, could get, and I had insulted it and tore the door off the hinges, came up the stairs.
Well, that would have shortened most people's lives just to experience something like that.
It certainly was an epiphany for me. I mean,
I would say
this is where you revise your research, Tiger. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is reviewing the situation for certain.
Wow.
So why would you want to move into a house where someone had slaughtered his entire family? That's why when they were discussing the book, laying it out, the ideas for me, I thought, well, you know, of course this is going to be. I mean, who wouldn't hear? Any sensitive person, in my opinion, would start to feel that negative energy. So, you know, how could this be a book, you know?
Sure.
And plus the grisly and the gore. I mean, I had written a lot of true crime, and I don't know, that kind of rubs off on you. I know I was doing, I was contracted to do another major true crime book a few years ago, and Sherry just said, you're not doing this anymore. I mean, this is negative. You know, there's a bleed through, and you know, so that's when I switched contracts.
Yeah.
And I was lucky to be able to do that. You know, I said, well, I'll do this book for you instead. And they went for it because it was, I don't know. It just wouldn't be, I think, for a sensitive person to move into such a house. So when I heard, gee, they're having strange phenomena and impressions, I thought, well, who wouldn't, you know, they're sensitive. But now we know why to move into that and start trying to contact the spirits. I mean, what you're going to get.
Asking for enormous trouble.
Yes, you're asking for enormous spiritual trouble.
Well, they lost, I guess, a lot of their family was quite substantially damaged because of it.
It certainly sounds like it. Yeah. I'm glad Christopher is fighting back. I mean,
he's got his head on right. He's nice.
Yeah. I still can't believe, you know, that you take living people and create scenarios, stories around them.
That's the deal. Sue us.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sue us.
So sue us. And how do you come up against that machinery?
Right. No, the corrupt system. And do you have an extra $100,000 to throw away? Forget
right.
it. You stay away from the legal system completely. It is a bottomless pit of horror. And then some. All right. We'll be right back. Reminds me of the time I was walking around the back of the Steiger Castle grounds and the ship came up.
Never forget it.
It rose up higher and higher. Eventually, it just disappeared. It was a dark, stormy night. walked around to the front and the drawbridge was down. The door was unlocked. And you'll have to tune in sometime in the future to find out what happened next.
Then we did the MASH. The
yes.
Monster MASH.
Yes. Oh, gee. Hard to believe it's here again.
Yeah. It is.
Every 2 months now, right?
It is hard to believe.
Every 2 months, Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it seems like. That's what it seems like.
Well, I don't know if you have folks been able to go and look at the contest ghost story entries. There are a batch of them, and click on the home page there, and you get to see what's up. The splash art contest. Let's see. I'm going to take a look at some of these. I haven't looked at them for a few days. Let me see. Entries. Right there at the bottom on the right, Splash Art Entries. Now, there are a couple of entries this year, I must say, that kind of, I think, missed the point of the contest.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't exactly dialed in on it. But that's not to disparage people's efforts.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There are some good ones there, indeed. Some fine displays of artistic ability.
Well, there's actually one photograph in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking that all of the really good ones, we ought to put them together in a slideshow for people and put it on your page. You know, from years gone by.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, if you and Lady Sherry can go through and just say, you know, this year, these five, and then for this year, mm-hmm. these eight, I'll have James put them together in a slideshow.
We'll do it.
Full screen. That'd be fun.
We'll do it. And then with the ghost entries, we've talked about it before, the possibility of maybe by next Halloween having a best of the ghost stories.
Well, they're real, and they ought to be in a book. I mean,
they
I
ought to be in
have
a book.
No question about it. And they're short. They're really in the Steiger format in many ways. Vignette-ish.
In many ways. And true, just as, you know, the old saw, which I was thinking over and over again as Christopher Lutz was speaking, truth is always stranger than fiction.
It is. His presentation underscored that perfectly. Yeah.
Perfectly. Perfectly.
I hope someone contacts him. Amityville Horror Challenge.com, if I'm remembering correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
what it was. So there's the real story, folks. And
right.
How many films now? 12, nine and
nine.
Five more in the works or something? I don't
well,
know.
This is what Christopher said. I imagine he would know, but nine films to date. I saw the first one, which of its type was really a classic. One wonders how much was true, but you know, we had a good cast in it. And I saw bits and pieces of the others. One I opened up in the Amityville house was a doll house. That's all the farther I got before I turned that one off. But
a doll house?
Yeah, a doll house. It was haunted, a little doll house. That was the Amityville horror house in that version. And I thought, that's too much. That's too much. The others, I can't imagine Ryan Reynolds, who is such a great comedic actor, I can't imagine killing a dog with an axe, and I guess he's supposed to be a demented George Lutz. The it's interesting. In Real Ghosts, Restless Spirits, Haunted Places, we have our good friend Paul Bartholomew, whom we've had as a guest a number of times. I asked him, since he was right near the Warrens, they had investigated. They felt also it was demonic. And as I said, we, of course, wanted to get full permission from George, and that's when I found out that he wanted everything TM, 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 which, of course, the publisher obliged, did that. But I know he, I didn't know about the Spook House and so forth that he wanted to do a franchise of, but I know he was planning from his perspective of telling the story the way it should be told, but I think it probably would be quite different from the one that Christopher's going to tell. Kathy, as I said, was a very, very charming woman. We talked at some length, and I can't remember we talked about specifics. I didn't go through them and say, well, did this happen? Did this happen? And the movie said this, and the movie, it was just a friendly conversation about their experience and what their plans were and so forth. They both seemed, they were a couple then. They hadn't divorced yet. Very personable.
Well, you get the distinct impression from listening to Christopher that the real story will come out. I mean, he's angry.
wouldn't be?
Exactly.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't.
If there were 9 movies about the Jeff Rentz story out?
No, that's, God forbid there even be one. All right, it's time to say.
Well, unless you wrote them all. I mean, then.
Well, if I wrote, if I wrote my real story, never mind.
It'd be the young surfing god who conquered Hollywood.
Oh, I'll see you in my dreams. The thrill of your charms, lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light my way to night. I'll see notice, well, I know it sounded like he was singing that live.
I think it always sounds as though he's singing it live.
seem like a little special energy there tonight.
Well, he brought Hans down from the parapets again on the run.
Good little Hans. Give him a little pet and a little cracker.
Will do.
And give the lovely lady a big hug and thank you, and we'll see you on Monday night.
Monday night. Sherry gives the hug right back and sends her best wishes to all the listening audience.
Have a good weekend.
As do I, of course.
Well, of course. See you Monday.
See you Monday.
Right.
Halloween.
Indeed. And thanks to all of you for being here tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. Brad now back with you Monday night. Take care.